When you think that nobody's around, that God is there. God is there in our darkest moments. God is there in our good times. He's there in our bad times. Hallelujah. So many times there's things that happen in our life, and sometimes we get in a quandary and we don't know where to turn. Can I tell you, Jesus is always there for you. He's considered the solid rock. I'm Christ, the solid rock. I stand. Go to the rock.
Down. come to church and to feel welcome. Truly, we serve one Lord, one faith, and one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The scripture says there's one God. How many gods are there? The Bible says there's one God, and even the devils fear when it comes to this one God. One God, Father of all, above all. He's through all, and he's in you all. Isn't it wonderful to know the Savior? I said, isn't it wonderful to know the Savior? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. We want to just repeat our theme for the year 2015. Lord tarry, and we make it through. But we don't want it to just become a part of our mouth, but we want it to become a part of our heart, our very being. Amen. So in difficult times, in times of challenges, when it seems like all hope is lost, we can just meditate on the theme. And our theme is believing God against all odds. When they're all odds, that means everything. As far as nature, as far as law, and as far as people are concerned, they're stacked against you. Amen. But I heard the scripture say, if God be for, how many know God is for the church? If God be for you, who then? And the scripture says, no weapon formed against you shall. It didn't say that they would try, but they will not prosper. And our scriptures in support of that are Luke 8:48-50. And Jesus said unto her, daughter, you know, when you get to low points, anybody ever reach some low points and you don't know if you even have a friend? You know, all you can do is sit home and just moan to yourself. This woman had reached a low point in her life. She had spent all of her earnings trying to be healed. Amen. But she said, if I can but touch the hem, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Amen. And she had to fight because there was a throng of people all around Jesus. But in herself, she realized that she was unclean because of an issue of blood. So when she touched the Lord and she was instantly healed, Jesus said, who touched? Anybody this afternoon really need to touch God? I'm not talking about knowing God superficially. I'm not talking about knowing God from the outside, but I'm talking about touching the Savior. Hallelujah. Even if I'm unclean, can I touch him? Hallelujah. The woman was unclean and she knew she should not touch the Savior. But when she touched him, she was made whole. And the Bible said, Jesus asked, who touched me? That's what's so good about God. There can be a million people around, but when you touch him right, you can feel the healing power of God. Jesus said, no, I know everybody's touching me. He said, but somebody touched me right. He said, well, Lord, how do you know somebody touched you right with all these people touching? He said, because I feel virtue. That's God's spirit of excellence. That's God's spirit of healing. He said, I perceive that virtue is going out of my body. And the Bible said the woman came fearing and trembling. Why? Because ceremonially, according to the law, according to religion, amen, that's why we don't believe in religion. You got to have salvation. According to religion and the law, she was not supposed to touch Jesus. Hallelujah. So when she knew what had happened, she fell down trembling. Why was she trembling and afraid? Because religiously. That's why you can't just have a religion. You got to have a personal relationship with the Savior. Amen. The Bible says that she fell down trembling. And this is how good God is. When you're at a low point, amen, when you don't feel as though anybody else can help you, he called her daughter. A term of endearment. He could have said woman, but he said daughter. It's a term of endearment and a term of intimacy, meaning you and I got something in connection. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy made me whole. Go in peace. And the scripture says, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the rulers of the synagogue house, saying to him, thy daughter, thou art a step. Your daughter is dead. Now, when somebody's dead, we know that means to what? The end. It's finished. Can somebody say, but Jesus? Come on, can we say, but Jesus? Hallelujah. She said, your daughter is dead, trouble not the master. And when Jesus heard it, Lord, all we need you to do is hear it. Lord, whatever they need this afternoon is just hear it. And when Jesus heard it, he said to him, fear not, believe only, and she shall be. We're talking about what? Believing God against all odds. And then we move up to St. John's 11th chapter, and it said, Lazarus has been in the dead, in the grave dead, 4 days. Ain't nobody else ever been in the grave dead for 3 days with Jesus. But he did 1 day more than Jesus. Lazarus has been in the dead. How many days? Grave. Everybody knows when somebody's in the grave 4 days, it's usually finished. Can we say about Jesus? It's impossible, but Jesus. The odds are stacked against me, but can we say but Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, you know what? This sickness even is not unto death. But how many know that when God is working in your personal situation, right? When God is working in your situation, there's a whole lot of naysayers and a whole lot of doubters. So the Lord said, you know what? I don't need you to do but one thing, and that is believe. When somebody's in the dead, four days, you're going to say, believe what? Right? I mean, realistically, we're talking about, can we have some real talk? When somebody's in the grave dead for 4 days, you're like, believe what? Right? Just like some of our situations that we're in, somebody said, just believe. How many know we're human? And in our human, we say, believe what? Right? Jesus said I come to thee. Yes. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see. Believe in God against all odds. I don't know what any of us may be going through today, but whatever it is, believe God. And you'll see that God can work it out. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading. Our scripture reading on this afternoon, and we're going to be coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 22. On Friday evening, we went over what system. We're talking about in church?
In church.
I've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, so I'm in church. But what system is governing your life? Is it the church system or is it the fashions or system of the world? Do we make our decision based on the Word of God and faith? Or do we make our decision based on the world and philosophy? Paul said, beware lest any man spoil you. You know what spoil means? That means to deceive you. That means to take you away from God. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. What system is governing our lives today? Amen. And then Peter said, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Sometimes people say, you just got too much of that Bible in you. The scripture says, his divine power has given unto us. If he's given us all things, then what's lacking? So why do we go to the world when we need help? God has given it to us. Amen. Verse 22 read. I'm sorry, verse 18. Go back. We don't want to go to 22. But as God is what? True. Our word taught you was not amen. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus, which who is Silas, and Timotheus, whose Timothy was not yet in name, but in him was, but in him was ye, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. Now he will establish us with you in Christ, and has, Lord, thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing, because I heard the scripture say only the anointing can destroy. I heard Jesus say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me, and because of the anointing the captives can be set free, those that are bound can be liberated, those that are spiritually blind can see, the deaf can hear. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. Lord, we bless you on this afternoon. Lord, we pray for your anointing. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to be here. Even now, Lord, we ask you to search every heart. Lord, try every mind. Even those right now, Lord, that are dwelling on their problems, we ask you to send the word to heal. Send the word to deliver. And send a word to set free. Lord, send a word so some lost soul may cry out, what must I do to be saved? Lord, send a word so some backslider will come running back to thee for your merit to the backslider to have our own way. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Yes.
Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. You may be seated. Paul writes in verse 18, he said, but as God is true. And the scripture said, let God be true, and every man, let who? God be true, and every man a liar. You know how sometimes we get on our faith, we get on a high wagon of faith. So I believe God can do anything. And then a man or a woman come by and say, well, God doesn't work like that. Right? You ever hear somebody tell you that? I heard that one time, and I won't give you the whole scenario. They say, well, God don't work like that. I said, okay, I accept that. But God has spoken a situation. Right? And he has spoken to the situation. But the person that said God don't work like that didn't realize that God had spoke to an individual. So somebody said, well, God don't work like that. Let God be true, right? And they said, well, he doesn't work that way. So I said, okay, well, if God don't work that way, that's fine. But then all of a sudden, God worked the way that he wasn't supposed to work. I said, wait a minute. We talk about somebody that was in high up on a ladder leadership, right? Someone that was preaching and teaching. Said, God don't work like that. And then God turned around and did what he wasn't supposed to do. So at that time I learned, let God be true. Can we just let it be true? And let every man be a liar? Because there are special times when God will speak to you. But he won't speak to someone else. Because you have been on the altar. You've been crying out to God. You've been praying to God. So God did not send you the answer. He sent them the answer. Remember when the Shunammite woman had lost her son? And Elijah had prayed for her to have a child. And all of a sudden she had the child and the child died. So the Shunammite woman said, sell the donkey. He said, I got to get to the prophet, to the man of God. He said, I don't care what happened, don't spare. He said, just take me to the man of God. And the scripture said, while he was gone, when Elijah looked up, he said, hey, here comes that Shunammite woman. He said, she's troubled. But the problem is, God did not yet reveal it unto me. Right? So there are times when God would be working in your situation, but he won't reveal it to someone else. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why we have to let God be true. Because man will talk you out of your blessing. Because God did not speak to them, God spoke to you. How many times have we allowed what people say or what people think to rob us of our faith? The scripture says concerning all those in faith, hall of fame, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. Amen. They did not receive it, but they embraced them and they confessed. They believed that God was going to make a way. So maybe it did not yet come. But how many are still holding on to that promise? I say, let God be true. So as God is true, our word towards you was not. I did not speak in ambiguity. Paul said, I didn't speak so that you were confused and did not know which direction to take. He said, I was not fickle-minded. He said, I gave you specific directions. He said, and they were not yea and nay. You know what he's saying? He says, a double-minded man is unstable. He said, if you come to God in faith and ask him anything, let him ask in faith nothing wavering, which means to say yea and nay. All right? You're not supposed to come to God saying yea and nay. You say, God is true. And if God said it, he can do it for you. So when I come to God, I don't come double-minded, because that man is unstable in all of his ways. And the scripture says, if you come to him, yea and nay, let not that man expect to receive anything of the Lord. So it was not yea and nay, the next verse. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus, who's Silas, and Timothy, who's Timothy, was not yea. How many times have we gone to God for something in these? Amen. And we just said, oh God, I know you can do it. And 5 minutes later, well, God, I don't know if you can do it. You can't come to God with yea and nay. Amen. But in him was, as long as you're in God, those promises are yea. Amen. Next verse. For, can we say all the promises? If all the promises, then what promises can you eliminate out of the book? God said what promises? All. Okay, somebody said, you're just going way too far. Who's going to be true, God or man? God said what? Then Peter said, exceeding great and precious promises. What promises? A-L-L is a three-letter word. I ain't going to say it already. I ain't going to say it. You already fussing enough. I ain't going to say that. All right. A-L-L is a three-letter word, but it can't be colors. Oh. So my question to you is, what promises has God made that you've eliminated? What he says, come on, y'all, what promises can we eliminate? God says, all the promises in him are yea, and in him, amen. Amen means that's true. Yes, cannot be denied. That's what true and cannot be denied. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. After we go through Hebrews, I'll give you our message. Amen. What kind of promises? All the promises in God are true. Amen. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 6, and we are starting in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 6. This is a scripture that we all know. But if we went on Friday, the world system, the world's impression, what we learned in the red world is the Bible said that is enmity against God, right? Isn't that what James said? The world system is the enemy of God. So we're in church, but most time we make a godly decision, we make it based on the against God. So I need to make a decision.
Is it going to be based on God or the world?
If you make it based on the world, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That spirit is not of God, but of the world. And if you make those decisions based on the world, it says, if any man love the world, then the love of the Father. If you love the world, sister, then the love of the Father is. Somebody said, how do I keep getting in these valley lows? What sister is governing your life? For God. Can we say for God?
For God.
We're not talking about a man. We're not talking about your husband, not your wife, not your best friend, not the pastor. For God is not. How many know God's not unrighteous? There is no unrighteousness in God. Now the world system, when things don't go right, they blame it on God. When things don't work out, you said that if I did this and if I stayed in the word of God, this would happen. So it didn't work out, so God let me down. God is not unrighteous. So if you messed up and it didn't turn out right, God was working it out and you didn't give him enough time to fix it. So you got in a doubtful mind. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that ye, listen, you have ministry. Somebody said, you don't know, I've been on fire for God a long time. Amen. Song said, I've been running for Jesus. I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. Anybody been running for Jesus? I don't know about you, but I know I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. I like the song where it said, Jesus took my heavy load. Anybody on a glory road? Anybody been running for Jesus? He said they have ministered, but they didn't stop. But they what? So a lot of people have ministered. But I wonder how many of us still do ministry. A lot of us used to pray, but I wonder how many of us still do pray. A lot of us used to love the word of God and read it, hallelujah, couldn't separate from it, but how many of us still do read it? A lot of us used to be faithful to the church of God and could nothing, not hell nor high water pull us away from God, but how many of us do still do it?
Yes.
Right? We're talking about getting a promise from God, amen?
Yes.
And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the what? Full assurance of hope. Don't quit. Don't give up. God is faithful. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit. Now a whole lot of us got faith. Right? But you don't have no patience. So we pray to God, we believe God. And God said, I'm going to do it, but 3 or 4 days went by, and some of us 3 or 4 hours. Right? Well, God, you didn't do that yet. Them who through and patience. Patience is an unswerved, unaltered mindset to believe God. That's patience. Right? Patience is, God, I don't see how, I don't know where, but I believe that you're going to do it. That's patience. So we pray, we have faith. God forbid we don't have the patience. Because patience, Job said, I know. Anybody know? Come on, anybody know? I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand the latter days upon the end of the earth, and the Lord knoweth the way that I. Anybody know that God knows the way that I take, and in the end I shall come forth? Well, what are you doing? So you can't just have faith, you have to have patience. Have you heard, have you seen, have you read about the patience of Job, who through faith and patience. You can't do one and not do the other.
The church is full of faith, but they don't have patience. I'm going to wait. Somebody said, how long are you going to wait? I'm going to wait till my best patience. You got to wait till your change comes. Next verse. For when God made promise to Abraham, he said, God made Abraham a promise. Let me explain what it really, what this means. God made Abraham a promise. And since God can think of no higher being to guarantee that promise, he swear by himself. Well, why would God swear by himself concerning the promise? Because God cannot lie. And God will not lie. God said, now, if I put this on a man, you know, even though people do their best, they will tell a lie every once in a while. So God said, because I want you to be assured of this promise that I made you, he said, I could swear by David, I could swear by Abraham, I could swear by Moses, I could swear by Elijah. He said, I had to swear by myself because I cannot, I will not lie. So God said, you want to believe this promise? He said, then you can believe in the name of Jesus because I swear by my name. And then Jesus said, if you ask anything, if you ask anything in my name, he said, I'll do it. I'll like the Lord. He said, the works that I do shall ye do, and greater works. Why? Because it's in my name. Swear by himself, saying blessings. Well, he did say blessings of what? You know what surely means? You don't have to question it. You don't have to doubt it. All you have to do is believe. How many of us today have asked God for something, a blessing, but we didn't ask him for a can we say a surely blessing? Come on, can we say a surely blessing? A surely blessing means this: not even the gates of hell will prevail. Not even the devil in hell can stop you. Not the judge, not the police, nobody can stop you because it's a surely blessing. Yes. Says, surely blessings I will. Yes. And multiplying I will. Yes. Multiplying in the next verse. And so after he had, you gotta have patience. You gotta have patience. And we're gonna go to Abraham in a few minutes. God made Abraham a promise when he was 75 years old. Right? And when did he receive the promise? He was how old? 100 years old. So Abraham had patience. It took him how long? 25 years. How many of us have quit on a promise? Because it's been a few months. Because it's been a year. It's been a couple of years and we didn't get it yet. Abraham waited 25 years, so he had faith and patience. I wonder how many of us have patience. I know we got faith, because how do you receive the Holy Ghost? By faith. We got the faith. Paul said, how receive you the Spirit? By the words of the law, by the hearing of faith. So you got faith because you got the Holy Ghost. God forbid, where's the patience? Right? Well, I want this. I can't mess with stuff because I don't want nobody to think I'm picking on. But you know what you've been impatient about. Let's put it this way. What have you been impatient about God doing for you? Right? So you fill in that blank. Because you know, I'm tired of waiting. Anybody say that? Somebody might think that. Right? All right, I should have went there because I said, wow, what you been listening to? We're talking about patience. I'm tired of waiting. Let's say I'm tired of waiting on the house. Anybody waiting on the house? No? I got to pick something that I ain't waiting on. So you don't think I'm talking to you. But if you think I'm talking to you, that's because you don't have patience. And I am talking to you. Abraham waited 25 Because Abraham had patience. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the... You know, sometimes when you go to court, they take those oaths. I mean, I watch court TV sometimes. I say, how do you take an oath and lie? The reason you take the oath is because you're supposed to tell the truth. Right? But they take the oath and then they lie. You're supposed to swear by the greater. You know, I had to go to court one time. They said, well, do you swear to this? I said, well, you know, church, we're supposed to swear. So I said, I affirm. And they use the Bible in court. But the kids can't use the Bible in school. That's no charge. Let's just keep going. I'm just seeing what's going to happen when I went to court. You're supposed to use, I affirm on the Bible. Right? What greater setting can we be in as people than the Bible, than the courtroom in front of everybody? But how in the world the devil steal the Bible out of school? Then people say, well, school ain't what they used to be. Put the Bible back in. It'd be what it used to be. All right, but that's. That one, that's a side one. We're going to keep moving there, right? For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation for them is an end of all strife. When God, that's what I like about God. God said, I'm going to make this promise to you, but I'm not going to make it weak and sheepish. God willing, what do you mean? God will give you an abundance. Not a little bit. God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the what? Immutability. That means God will not change. You know what Paul said it this way? God would not say yea and. Because of all the promises of God in him, yea and. So God will not tell you yes and no. So if God won't tell you yes and no and your mind and life is full of doubt, what system is governing your life? It can't be the system of God. Because God is in here is yea and amen. Promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, whereby two impossible things which it is. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. God's oath and his confirmation makes it impossible. He could swear by no greater, so he swear. So if God has sworn and made you a promise, it is, what does that word say? Immutable, but after immutable, it is him. The Bible said with men, these things are what? But with God. All things, I like to, you know, even though we all men, and some of us men, I like to see how we would have reacted to the angel when Gabriel, when he came to us and said, you're going to have a child. I'm going to have a child, I'm a virgin. How am I going to have a child? You know, men don't have children. You know what I mean? What I'm saying? We just still a little role playing, okay? You're going to have a child. Harris, wait a minute. Nature and the law medically is impossible. She said, wait a minute, Gabriel. I knew you came from God. I know what you're saying. She said, but how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? She said, I'm still a virgin. I'm still pure. I'm still holy unto God. And Gabriel said, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow me. You know what Mary said? She said, oh, so let it be. And the angel said, the things that are impossible with man are what? The only thing that's impossible for God is to lie. Everything else is all, you can just count on it all the way to the bank, because God cannot lie. Impossible for God to lie. We might have a What kind of consolation? Somebody say, you just will not quit. I got a strong consolation. Because my trust is in God, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the. That's why the Bible said, when Jesus, the hope that was set before him, with joy, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and when you endure and despise, you ain't able to sit down. When you sit down, my work's over, my labor's over. All right, I'm almost finished anyway. Our message is all the promises in God the truth. All. How many promises?
All.
All the promises in God are true. Now, if all the promises in God are true, what promises have you eliminated? Somebody said, my child is all messed up on drugs, and I just do it my hand. Promises, all the promises of God are true. I know somebody that went to qualify to get a job, and I know what the paper said, and the resume said, and all this stuff said. So the person said, well, I didn't turn in my name because I didn't meet the criteria. Right? Did anyone ever have some of those, I didn't meet the criteria? Yeah, I know. A lot of y'all are spiritual, so y'all have those challenges. Right? I didn't meet the criteria. So since I didn't meet the criteria, I didn't put my name on the paper. I didn't go for the loan. I didn't go for the car. I didn't go for the job. I didn't go for the deliverance because I did not meet the criteria. The only criteria that you need is God. That's the only criteria that you need. Because when you believe, listen, belief can do anything. Belief raised Lazarus from the dead after he was dead. How many days? When Israel got to the Red Sea, they were trying to figure out, how are we going to get over this? How are we going to get past it? The enemy is closing in on us. God made us a promise, and now we're stuck. Anybody feel like he's stuck? I'm just stuck in this situation. You got to keep believing God. Israel, like a lot of us do when things aren't right, said, Moses, what are we going to do? They start crying to the point they had Moses crying. You know what God said? Stand still and see the salvation of God. Your situation will change if you just be still and know that He is God. Because God can do anything but fail. Amen. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 15. We'll finish up here, though we have many other scriptures. I think we got the message. There is nothing. How many know that song? There is no secret. You know that? There's no secret. What God can do. What God has done for others, He can do the same for you. There is no secret. Now, life experiences. You know, how many of us experience all kind of ups and downs and ins and outs and good and bad stuff in life? Our life experiences are teachers. Our life experiences are teachers. Not to overthrow us, but to get us closer to God. Our life experiences are a stair step of faith. Because when you have a stair step, you go what?
Higher and higher.
So everything you've gone through and I've gone through in my life is a stair step. Not intended to overthrow us, not intended for our demise, but it's intended to increase our faith. A great religious leader said, faith is taking a step, even when you can't see the whole staircase. Faith, you take a step even though you don't know where it's going to wind up at because you can't see the end of the staircase, but you do something. That's what faith does. So our life experiences are stair steps. I can know how you have kids, they go, boom, 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 right? They're stair steps. Every time, it takes you higher and higher. Remember that old song we used to sing years ago? We are climbing. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. And every round goes. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Every round is a stair step. I'm going higher and higher. You know, I like what Paul says in Romans, the 20th chapter, I believe it in Acts chapter 26. Every time you step up, you step on the devil's head. You know, just keep stepping. Don't stand still. You got to keep stepping. If you don't see where it's going to end, you can't see the whole staircase. But believe God. I once heard a story. I think this is a creative story, but it has a good meaning, a good ending. An individual had been captured by the enemy. And his country was there to rescue him. They already promised that they were going to kill him. So when they came to rescue him, the enemy threw him down in a cave until they came back. Now, he got down in the cave. Y'all with me? When he got down in the cave, it was dark. And he started moving. But the more he moved, the more he realized that he was still moving. Because he did what? He took a step. And then after a while, when the war was over, when the battle was over, when he ascended over on the victory side. And you know, over in Israel, the Palestinians dug tunnels. And that's why when they were shelling recently, they were shelling, somebody said, why do you want to shell empty space? Because the Palestinians had dug tunnels. And the tunnels came up in Israel. Right? So the Palestinians had captured a soldier. But what they didn't realize is that they threw him into one of their tunnels. And the end of that tunnel was back in his own homeland. How many of us have been tossed into the tunnel by the enemy, but we just sit there? I heard the leper say, why sit we here? Till we die. Faith and patience. When in faith, you have to be willing to take a step. Now, let's just imagine that soldier that was captured just stayed there and waited for the enemy to come back to get him. Unfortunately, that's what happens to much of us in church. The enemy has set us up. He's put us in a place where he goes to fight the angels that's trying to deliver us. Jesus. And instead of us doing something, we just sit there and wait. At least if you go, keep going till you can't do anything, do something. Amen? Don't just sit there until the enemy comes back. Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. Then we're talking about Abraham. Abraham had waited for the promise. And up in the verse 1, it says that God did tempt Abraham. In other words, God tested Abraham to see what was really in his heart. Now this was his son Isaac. He waited 25 years for the promise. Right now he takes Isaac out because God said I can prove it, but not now. Just believe me. Isaac was a type of Christ. Right? Christ was, how old was Christ when he was crucified? 33, right? So Isaac was a type of Christ. And remember the scripture said, take your son, your only son, and what? Sacrifice him. So if Isaac is a type of Christ, and Christ was crucified at 33, then Isaac was 33. So if you add 33 and 25, that's how many years? 58 years. So almost 60 years, God is still testing Abraham. He said, after 25 years, he got the promise. That should have been enough, right? God was still testing him. He said, I know you have faith, but do you still have the patience? Right, so he takes him out on the mountain, and at this time, he's going to slay Isaac. because he believed that if he slayed him, God was able to restore him back to life. So Abraham lifts up the knife to slay Isaac. And then verse 16, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord called out to him out of heaven and said, slay not your son. All right? So then verse 16 says, and he said, after he had stopped him, right? Because 60 years is a long time almost to see if somebody really had it in their heart. Most of us aren't even 60 years old. But for patience. When it comes to God, all his promises are true if we wait through faith and patience. And said, by myself have I. Then we read in Hebrews, Jesus said, God said, because I can swear by no greater. I swore. What were you swearing about? The promise. So he tells Abraham, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, because he's a type of Christ. Remember, thy son, thy only son, the only begotten son of God, right? Amen. That in blessings, I will. That in blessings, because all the promises of God are true, if you keep faith and patience, and then multiply, and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Next verse. And in thy seed shall all nations on the earth be blessed because you didn't believe me. Because you have, as we all said, if you have faith and patience and obey. Now you know what the devil does as the elders and ministers and all the workers come forward? You know what the devil does so often to us? He tried to get us to doubt God. He tried to get us not to believe God. And in doubting and not believing God, inadvertently we disobey God. And then when we disobey God, God holds back a blessing that was coming our way because we did not obey. He said, the blessings shall be upon thee. The blessing, not only is it going to be upon you, Abraham, it's going to be upon your seed. Why? Because you obeyed me. This afternoon, all of God's promises are true. Don't eliminate a promise. Believe God. Your challenges, believe God. Your difficulty, believe God. It's never over till it's over. And then with God, it's still ain't over. Because Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And everybody else's eyes, it was over. Now, we went over this not too long ago. You know why the Lord waited 4 days to go get Lazarus instead of getting him sooner? Because the Jews had a superstition. And in their superstition, they believed that when a person died, the spirit hung around the grave for 3 days. And in the right situation arose, that spirit could be resurrected. That's why the Lord made it 4 days. Because after 4 days, even their superstitions were never disqualified. So God moves according to his will, according to his way, because he is God. Can we resolve in our heart today? Let